If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Levi's, Plow & Hearth, Adidas, Sephora, and Neiman Marcus. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. And it's easy to use. And you get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's R-A-K-U-T-E-N, Rakuten.com.
Welcome to the Betting Above the Rim podcast. Today's date, August 23rd, episode 80. In today's podcast, we get into five topics. First, we'll preview Connecticut at New York, which tips off Saturday night at 7 p.m. We'll then also preview the second game of the WNBA, tipping off at 8 p.m. between Indiana Fever and the Minnesota Lynx. Remember, both Connecticut and Minnesota will be coming off of back-to-backs that they both played on Friday night. Next, we go to the NBA, where we're going to look at three teams. We're going to look at the Atlanta Hawks, we're going to look at the Boston Celtics, and we're going to look at the Brooklyn Nets. We look at their over-under win total. I give you my early thoughts with that. Any kind of odds to make playoffs or win championships, we'll take a look and let you know there. And if there's any player props, season-long props that we might want to consider. Let's get started in the WNBA with a matchup number four, I would say, between Connecticut and New York. The line as of right now is New York minus eight. Just one thing of note so people understand. Do know that Sabrina Ionescu has not played the last two games. Binaja Laney Hamilton did not play last night versus Dallas. So just a little bit of a heads up here. Make sure you check the lines in the morning or whenever you check them, because the lines will move. This is based off of they thinking Laney Hamilton and Ionescu play. Obviously, if they don't play, you're going to look for this line to move. So I just want people to be very aware of it as New York is laying 8 points. So when you think about this game, folks, simply put, Connecticut has not beaten New York all season, okay? New York is 3-0 versus Connecticut. They've won by seven, by three, and by eight. So the last time they played was a 6.5-point spread in which New York Liberty won 82-74 covering that spread. So you just want to kind of make sure you kind of look back here and know that the Liberty has played really well versus the Connecticut Sun. Remember, folks, this was also the day after this happened is when Connecticut traded for Marina Mabry. So I want people to understand that. Connecticut's going to come into it. We don't know what's going to happen tonight, okay? But Connecticut has not covered the last two games, all right, as a big spread. Now, if you look at them lately when they've been an underdog, the last two times they were underdogs, they were against New York. Both times they did not cover, all right? And then you look at other games that they were the underdog at Minnesota, 1-5, at Phoenix, 1-11. Folks, simply put, if New York is healthy, they're the best team in the league. If Laney Hamilton and Sab are playing, you can't go against the New York Liberty, particularly the play of Jonquel Jones. And that's where I'm going to focus on is I like Jonquel Jones to get a double-double in this matchup. Simply put, I had a talk with a good friend of mine, and to me, I feel like Jonquel Jones is the ultimate X factor. At 6'5", the ability to stretch the floor from three, score inside, and rebound at reckless abandonment. A Jonquel Jones, folks, that has double-doubles in three straight games. Now, when you look at Jonquel versus Connecticut, 8-11, no double-double. 8-7, no double-double. 22-8, no double-double. So that's why you're looking at Jonquel Jones and her double-double price being at plus money. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to take it. I've been riding this a lot lately and it's been working for me. I'm not coming off of it. Jonquel Jones double-double at plus 120 on FanDuel. Obviously, it may move tomorrow. It may move in the other direction. It may move up or down, I should say, because our points prop right now for Jonquel is sitting at, I do believe, Jonquel is at 13 and a half points. If you want to play the points prop, you may want to wait. You may want to jump on now because if Inescu and or Laney Hamilton don't play, that thing's going to probably jump to about 15 and a half. So Jonquel Jones double-double plus 120 is the play. Liberty minus the points. Make sure you check tomorrow before you place your bet to see if Laney Hamilton and Inescu are in or out of the lineup. Obviously, if you see that thing lower than 7.5, if it's like 6 or 5.5 or 4.5, that's because Laney Hamilton and or Sab are out of the lineup. Second matchup of the day has Minnesota taking on Indiana Fever. Minnesota as a minus 7-point favorite. Now, when you look at this matchup here, with Caitlin Clark heading on the road here, you got to look at a couple of things. First things first, Minnesota is going to play at home on Friday night, but they're also going to be playing against Vegas. And Vegas should be in a bad mood. That's going to be a really tight game tonight because Vegas isn't playing well. But an Indiana Fever team sitting at 13-5, and you look at them closely, folks, they've covered 4 of the last 5 games against the spread. So we do think that they will be in the game here. And if you look at head-to-head matchups, it was an 81-74 score in which Minnesota lost to Indiana. That was right before the Olympic break. So when you look at Indiana playing well against spread, 4 out of the last 5, right? 6 out of 5 out of the last 7, 7 out of the last 9, or 7 out of the last 10. And you look at a team like Minnesota, who has covered in 3 straight games. I think the rest advantage goes to Caitlin Clark. I'm going to look at the plus 7 points for the Indiana Fever to go ahead and get the job done. I think they're going to be able to play really well. Caitlin Clark's been absolutely sensational, folks. I know people are talking about, is there a race? Is there a race? There's no race in Rookie of the Year, folks. Can we just stop it? The way this lady has been playing, you just look at Caitlin Clark as of late. And just look at her after the Olympic break and getting that rest that we talked about that is so important. Caitlin Clark in her 2 games since the Olympic break, 29-5, 23-5. And folks, her splits, when she gets a lot of time off, is something that you may want to look at, okay? She had a 3-day break, right, between the 6th and the 10th, I think, of July. That game on the 10th of July, 29-13-5. That's a big number. You look at when she had a 3-day break before she played Seattle on June the 27th, 16-6-7. So when she starts getting these big breaks of more than 3 days, she tends to play well. And I think that's something that you want to look at. And even if you look at her getting just 2 days off, she plays really well. But I'm not going to focus on Caitlin Clark. I want to go to Aaliyah Boston. Okay, Aaliyah Boston is getting 14 points, 9 rebounds a game. She's top 10 in the WNBA and rebounds per game, and she's playing really good basketball, and she's starting to figure it out. So to me, I'm going to go to Aaliyah Boston at minus 105 to get a double-double versus Minnesota. Maybe Minnesota's legs are a little bit heavier in the second leg of a back-to-back. She should allow her in the rebounding market. Obviously, she has scored in double figures. I think since the beginning of June, I'm looking at Aaliyah Boston right now, and she only has, I do believe, 2-3 games in which she scored under 10 points. So the points are going to be there. The rebounds is where you may want to be a little bit of a concern here, but I think she gets there with the rebounds, 17-16 in her last matchup versus Minnesota. Aaliyah Boston minus, I think it's 105, to get a double-double. Let's move on to the NBA. As we focus on 3 teams, we're going to sort in alphabetical order, folks. We'll do 3 teams each episode leading up to the beginning of the NBA season. Let's first go to Atlanta, a team at 23-24 with a lot of changes. Obviously, 36-46, missed the playoffs, had the number one pick drafted, Zachary Richesse, obviously. And we know that the fact that they traded DeJounte Murray in the offseason to New Orleans. So when you look at Atlanta, their over-under win total right now sits at 35.5 at minus 110. And then their odds to make the playoffs is a plus 194. So when you look at this Atlanta team, it's going to come down to, can Trae Young be healthy, right? And be the Trae that we need and we thought we're going to get, because I think the backcourt with him and DeJounte just did not work. The ball needs to be in Trae Young's hands. Bogdanović at the two. Richesse and Jalen Johnson should be your starting front court with Clint Capella at center. That allows DeAndre Hunter to go to the bench as a sixth man. You may want to look at DeAndre Hunter as possibly a sixth man of the year candidate because of the fact that I think he comes off the bench. He's right now at 40-1. It's a long shot. I'm not saying you bet a lot of money, but I'm saying it for two reasons. Number one, I've always been a big fan of DeAndre Hunter's game. It's just his ability, honestly, folks, to stay healthy over the course of his career. So, you know, last year only played 57 games, 37 starts, but he did average 15.6 points per game, 3.9 rebounds, 1.5 assists. If he could be somewhere in that 16 to 17 points per game off the bench, folks, that's a dream. The other thing is you never know when DeAndre Hunter is going to be traded, because they may want to trade him with the fact that they already have Richesse and Jalen Johnson, and they can get maybe something back for DeAndre Hunter. If he goes to a contender, he still may be a sixth man. 40-1. I'm not saying bet a lot on it. Couple of dollars. DeAndre Hunter, this is a 3-and-D guy. He shot a 38.5% from three for last year, which was a career high. He shot a 45.9%, which is off from years past. His rebounding numbers were down a little bit, but remember, folks, he only played 29.5 minutes per game. If DeAndre Hunter can get you off the bench about 30 minutes a night, which he should play major minutes because he can play him as a three or a four, I think he can get in that window of the 15 points, let's say four rebounds a game, a couple assists, maybe half a block, maybe a steal. DeAndre Hunter, 3-and-D guy, will also probably play down the stretch of the game, especially for stops. Look at DeAndre Hunter, 40-1. Now, in regards to the team playing in the playoffs, they're not making the playoffs. Let's just stop it now. Atlanta's not making the playoffs. I can't see them doing so. So I'm not going to take the plus 194 for them. But now it comes down to, what do we think about the win total of 35.5 wins? I think they're going to be just under that. I see them about 33-35. I could see injuries. I could see them giving Richesse a lot of time. And I could also see them kind of not, you know, really doing a lot in regards to, you know, maybe in regards to trades. Capella could be getting moved. Okongwu could get moved. Hunter could be moved. The rebuild is continuing with Atlanta. I think they go under it, and I don't think they make the playoffs. Let's move on to the Boston Celtics, the prohibitive favorites to win the NBA championship. Boston checked in with a regular season win total of over 58.5 wins at even money. Odds to make the playoffs, not listed. Folks, simply put, they're going to make the playoffs. So to me, it's about if Boston's going to win the NBA championship. I think that's the one thing you want to look at. In regards to the win total of 58.5, this is going to be tough here, because when you look at this and you look at this team, they're lined up to make another run, right? But I think the thing that you got to start to get a little nervous about here with Boston is the fact of they're going to play in a really tough division, at least New York and Philadelphia, right? So they should probably have some tough matchups with teams to take seriously. But then you look at the rest of the division, not good, right? Toronto's not good. Brooklyn Nets will get them next. They're the worst. They're maybe the worst team in the NBA. I think they get over 58.5. I see them right at that 60 number. That's the number I keep having in my head. 60 wins, 60 wins, 60 wins. You look at their team. Their core is back. They're going to miss Porzingis for a large part of the beginning of the year, but once he gets going, they will be there. I do think they go over 58 and a half wins, and they are the odds on favorite to win the championship, as they should be. Now, let's get to the prop market, because it's really interesting, because the defensive player of the year, Derek White, is coming in at 75 to 1 to be DPOY. His backcourt mate, Drew Holiday, is checking in with the same odds. If you take a flyer, anyone, I'm going to say it's Drew Holiday. Why, folks? We know that Wemby is going to be the odds-on favorite, and he's going to probably win it. But when you really, really look at it, who is the best defensive guard in the league? It's Drew Holiday. So Gobert is not going to win it because they attack him. So we're either looking at like Wemby, Bam, AD, Bridges, you know, OG Anunoby, Draymond, if his health is right, if his mind is right, maybe JoJo. Caruso maybe is a sleeper. But Drew Holiday, 75-1 for the best defensive guard in the NBA, that just makes sense. Like, put a couple of bucks on it. Because if there's gonna be a guard that's going to win DPOY, it's Holiday. Maybe Marcus Smart, but he's unhealthy, and I think he's a lot of fluff. Herb Jones, but he's more of a forward. So if you see him, I really think it's really Holiday. It's Derek White. And then maybe you can look at someone like Caruso. But for the number, at 75-1, who I consider to be the best defensive guard in the NBA, I'm going to put a couple of bucks on Drew Holiday to win DPOY at 75-1. Let's end the podcast with the worst team in the NBA this year. What does K-Dub call it? Capture the flag? You know, tank for Cooper, tank for flag? Whatever they're doing, they ain't winning. Folks, ready? Their over-under win total for the Nets is 19 and a half. Their odds to make the playoffs are 30 to 1. Their odds to win a division is 500 to 1. Folks, when they're low, stay low. Ready? Starting lineup, Dennis Schroeder, Cam Thomas, Cam Johnson, Dorian Finney-Smith, Nick Claxton. I mean, Cam could score. Cam Johnson may get traded. Finney Smith could be someone who gets moved as well. Schroeder can get moved. They want to get rid of Ben Simmons for whatever they can get. Bogdanovich is in the last year of his deal. He can get moved, get flipped. So this is to me about the development of Cam Thomas. This is the development of can Nick Claxton be a consistent player. This is getting Dayron Sharpe more minutes. This is what we get out of a guy like Jalen Wilson, who was the MVP of Summer League. Like, this is where the Nets are. They're taking for Cooper Flagg. They're going under 19 and a half. And I'm going to just give it to you like this. I want you to listen to the Nets schedule for the first 5 or 6 weeks. Ready? At Atlanta, loss. At Orlando, loss. Home Milwaukee, loss. Home Denver, loss. At Memphis, loss. Home Chicago, home Detroit. Those could be wins. Home Memphis, loss. At Boston, loss. At Cleveland, loss. At New Orleans, loss. Home Boston, loss. At New York, loss. At New York, loss. They got two games that are going to be favored in the first, like, 16 games. I think I just counted. Two! And then they got Charlotte. Okay, maybe I'll give them Charlotte. Then at Philadelphia, then they got to go west. At Sacramento, at Golden State, at Phoenix. And then they go home Orlando, home Orlando. Guys, they get beat December 1st and have three wins. They have three games they're going to be favored in until December. They are going to be god-awful. And that start does not help them. I know they got a new coach. I know they have a new system. I don't know how Sean Marks has a job there. Simply put, it's the lowest over-under win total on the board at 19.5. I think Washington is next at 20.5. Folks, go under. Brooklyn Nets under 19.5 wins this upcoming season. This has been your Betting Above the Rim podcast for August 23rd. For all things sports gambling, download that Sports Grid app. pregame, endgame, props, predictions, and more from the very best in the sports gambling industry. Next podcast will be shot early next week. We'll get into some other teams. Look like it's probably going to be, if not mistaken, Chicago, Cleveland, Charlotte. It probably we're looking at. We'll get a preview for all three of those teams. We'll also recap the WNBA, getting down the stretch there. So we'll recap that as well. For my producer, Matty George, Vinny does a great job with the graphics. Thank you so much for listening, folks. Always remember, it's smarter to be on SportsGrid. Good night.